Because the Spirit of truth will lead us into all truth. And it's not enough just to have it in here, but we've got to let it out. It, you know, when our mouth opens, that Spirit of truth needs to come out. You know, the Lord says, "My sheep know my voice, and another row they follow." But yet we know that the liar comes sometimes and whispers in your ear, and sometimes you think it's your thoughts. Tell him to shut up. You won't hear his voice, because if it's not faith, it's not God. That truth comes out of our inward parts and overrides the old man's thinking. You know, Christ is being formed in us. The fullness is there, but it's transforming our whole being. That when others see us and see us as the light of God that shines in the darkness, then they're going to come to our light. This, you know, there's a reverent spirit of the Lord, of the King, of the Lion, of the tribe of Judah here this morning. But yet the word that came to me, maybe it's for the children, maybe it's to make us childlike. But I hear the Lord saying, "I want to give you an anointing this morning." And it was in the song about the honey, the love of God, that liquid that's being, you know, we're a vessel, it's being poured into us. But it's like, I'm giving you a Winnie the Pooh anointing this morning. He had a hunger for that pot of honey, and he couldn't leave it alone. And he ate it, and he ate it until he was so fat, he couldn't get through the door, he got stuck. Well, the Lord doesn't want us to be stuck, but he wants us to have that hunger for him. That, you know, that we get fat in the spirit. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Because of the fatness, the yoke was busted to pieces. It wasn't just broken, it was demolished. And so, you know, we are free because we are, it is the God, the truth that we know that sets us free. And so don't be afraid. I mean, don't let anything else come in the way of that hunger. Stay hungry for God. And, you know, Winnie the Pooh, he had it all over him. Everything he touched was sticky. You know, let everything you touch be anointed with the goodness and the sweetness of God. Amen?
I feel like just this morning that we have sort of walked into a sovereign moment. And how many of you remember the story about King Solomon? And when given the option to build his own kingdom, he decided to build God's kingdom. I feel like that's a moment that we're in right now. And as we build the Lord a throne of praise, we become caught up in pouring out our worship. He does something sort of surprising. It's enough for us to be in his presence, but he begins to build our life. I really feel like this morning, if you came into the room and you had an impossible situation, or you had something that without God, like you didn't have a solution, I just really feel like this morning, as you begin to put your attention on the Lord and your affection on Jesus, that he's actually building your life. So what happened with King Solomon is he asked for wisdom to lead God's people. And it says, in response, the Lord built and established Solomon's kingdom. He wasn't even asking for that. He was beginning to build the King Jesus a throne of praise. I know you've probably heard us say that as we worship. Let's build Jesus a throne of praise. But it's becoming fascinated by who he is. I'm going to say this again. This morning, as we put our attention and affection on Jesus, my expectation is that as you walk out of here, God's done something in your life that'll be a sign and a wonder, a gift and a surprise, whatever that looks like. But he has access to you. I'll never forget. I had this experience one time praying for somebody, and the Lord gave me a picture of their life. And the picture of their life was that I was looking into a warehouse, and there were all these boxes, and things were a mess. And I felt the invitation of the Lord to begin to sort of move boxes. And I was doing this in prayer, right? But God was giving me the freedom to pray and to start shifting things around in people's lives. And of course, it's always releasing the goodness, right? I'm just releasing His goodness where I see the Lord moving. And I just see the Lord just shifting and moving boxes in your life, in your warehouse, making room, restructuring and organizing. And the Holy Spirit, in His excellent and beautiful way, He's doing this. So why don't we do this? Why don't we put our hands out in front of us? Jesus, isn't it great how much You love us? We thank You, Jesus, for Your movement and Your activity in our life. We trust You. We trust You. We trust You. Come and do what only You can do. Come and do what only You can do. Come on, I just see the Lord just shifting things in your life. Things you thought were impossible, He's doing in a moment. We thank You, Jesus. And we say that You're beautiful and You're glorious. You're beautiful and You're glorious. We love You, Jesus. Come and do what only You can do. Come and do what only You can do in our family, in our finances, at work, in places that we cannot control. We just thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus, for just Your presence, that Pooh Bear anointing, that sticky honey on everything and every place that we put our feet and put our hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good. Yes. Ah! Can we bless the worship team? How ridiculous was that? So good. So good. Man. Whew. I mean, let's just stay here. This is just so good. I love gifts and surprises. Who likes testimonies? Does anybody like testimonies of God's goodness? Awesome. I do. That's great. I love it when the Lord's moving. You know, we had fun yesterday. We had the healing rooms training, and some of that was some carryover from the healing conference that we had here. People who are excited and just zealous to see the Lord just move in healing. And so we had some fun yesterday as we got a chance to just equip and press in. And so I'll just say this. I got another testimony this morning. I won't share the details of it yet, but just of God's ridiculous healing and redemptive nature to do incredible things when we least expect it. And so we had fun yesterday sort of dipping into the same thing, just of testimony, people getting healed. And so it's so good. So even this morning as we were in worship, we just began to sing about that His healing presence was in the room. It was active in the room. And I encourage you, anytime we get into a place like that, it just to start testing your body. If you've got something that's going on, you don't actually need somebody to put their hands on you, although it's cool when they do. But Jesus is incredible because He sent forth the word that healed. So putting hands on somebody isn't necessary. We'll use it by all means. But like when we just get into an atmosphere of worship, I just encourage you to begin testing your body because like He's that good. I mean, just to keep, I don't know, just hopefully this bugs you in a good way. But like when I was worshiping, I just had to open my eyes because I just felt like I'm going to see something. You know, just He's so present in the room right now. Like I just need to keep my eyes open because there's His glory is doing something. Like, I don't know what this is all about. So I just encourage you when we stay in these places and we it just gets really thin, or his presence gets really full, or whatever vocabulary you want to use, that God is present in the moment. And so anyway, with that, do we have, I'm just this morning, this is a little spontaneous, but do we have any testimonies in the room of how God has healed you, either at the conference or in this last like week or two? I'm just curious. I got to ask. Anybody experience any healing in their life? Okay, beautiful.
So I prayed for somebody, or I got the privilege of praying with somebody at the conference. Yeah. And she just asked kind of for the impossible. She was just really ashamed of her past and asked, do you think God could heal me? I'm like, well, of course he can. That's what he does. And anyway, just this week, she sent me a text message, and God healed her of a STD. So that's huge, right? God is so amazing. He cares about those things.
Thank you. What? Come on. We should lose it for that. What? Come on. Those are greater things. We have that makes us slightly uncomfortable. What is what, Jesus? Can we say that from the stage? I love it. Come on. Come on. We got another one. Here we go.
Well, I'm new here, but I have a miraculous story. A year ago, my son was, you probably read it or saw it in the news, my son was in a car wreck on the Levee Bend or Lewiston Levee, whatever it is. That's one that goes around. It was right in September. And I got pictures. He was in intensive care for over 2.5 weeks right here at St. Joe's. He was driving a 2004, I think it was, Hyundai Elantra, and a Ford F-350 hit him. Crushed his car, except for the driver's area. Everything else around him was crushed. He's sitting here today. Within just, I don't know how many hours, 12 hours from hearing about the accident, my wife and I, we lived in Utah. We left our jobs. I said, we got to go. We were in the car. We're on our way here. I was able to pray over him in the hospital. And he stands here today, healed.
So good. Thank you, Joe. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, just real quick, whatever we bless increases. So if you need breakthrough and you hear somebody share a testimony, get crazy, because whatever you bless increases. 5 loaves. 2 fish, Jesus broke it, and what happened? It was multiplied. He gave blessing, he gave thanks, and whatever we bless and give God thanks for, it increases. Come on. Come on. This is the kingdom. It's not fair. I get it. I know. But it's the kingdom. It's what Jesus paid for. He died for it. He paid for it. For you, for me. Isn't this awesome? We get to do this, you guys. You were born for this. Oh, man. Okay, well, let's pray over the offering. We'll just stay in that place. Come on. If you could throw that up there, we'll declare this together. Some of you may need to stand up. Some of you are good in your heavenly seats. Do what you want. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales, and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So good. All right. Why don't we bless Jeff as he comes up this morning to release the word? Come on. Let's go.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, how many of you know that God doesn't want to just heal you? He wants to heal through you, right? Come on, it's so amazing. What's your name? Stephen. Thanks for being here with us this morning, and Joe and Maddie Ray for sharing the testimony. But can I encourage you, Stephen, in the joy of knowing that you're here today, you're walking hopefully in great health and realizing how gracious God is to save and redeem a life. It's not just that God loves you to heal you, but he wants to heal through you. He wants you to share your testimony. He wants you to discover more about him. I don't know where you're at with the Lord or how you believe or what you believe, but I just want to encourage you. You know, Joe, Maddie Ray, it's not just that the Lord touched him and he answered prayers, but it's now recognizing to the ends of the earth, right? So who knows where you're going to go, Stephen? Who knows what God has in store for you? I'm blessed you're here this morning. Thank you for letting us call you out and putting the spotlight on you. But there's something so miraculous about the glory of God that we're talking about, that we've been singing about. What I love in the makeup of this morning is, I know I say this every time. I realize I say this. This is just the drum I'm beating. We are so bad at coordinating what we're doing around here. I realize that. It frustrates some of you. You feel like the communication is terrible. But can I just tell you, like, it is so sweet for me to recognize, like, there was no coordination with the songs that Grady and the team picked this morning, with what testimonies were going to be shared about the glory and the songs, the spontaneous songs, and then even my message this morning. It, like, I just sit there and I just weep because it's like, oh, Lord, in all our great effort, we can pull off some really good things, but there's nothing sweeter than the goodness and the greatness and the wonder of God just orchestrating things and showing, even in the midst. I just pulled my journal out this morning because I heard things in the songs that I'm going to touch on in the Word this morning. And one of them is, and I shared this with you as we got started, is just creating space. And we're talking about the glory of Christmas. We'll be in Ephesians. If you want to open up to Ephesians 1, we'll get there in a moment. But I want you to hear a few things as I kind of just take where we were in worship, some things that God was showing, and then I'm going to show you how they're connected to the Word this morning. But have you ever thought about the reality of honey? Like, how many of you ever stuck your, like, a spoon in a honey and just started stirring it? It's not something, it's not like whipping eggs, right? It's not like making cream where you can just shh, shh, shh. It's like there's an effort, right? So imagine with me for just a moment, activate your creative sensitivity, your creative imagination, your redeemed imagination, and just imagine yourself being covered in honey. Like we were singing, he's pouring out his honey on us. We're talking about honey. We're talking about the glory, the presence of the Lord this morning, the beauty of this season, Christmas. And so bear with me, but just imagine being covered in honey. And for those of you with sensitivity issues, I get this is a hard struggle right now. Like, oh, you know, Josh is talking about, yeah, we love laying hands on everybody, but we don't always need to. Praise God, because I'm okay if you don't lay hands on me, you know? It's just one of those things. I'm working through it, but I want to be healed. But that picture of being covered in honey, I just stop and I realize, like, Lord, I actually need more of that, because what all of a sudden I realize happens if you're covered in honey is things slow down, right? I mean, it's just like slow, like, and it's just this molasses movement. And some of us, we need that. I need that. Because I'm zipping by things and missing things and not paying attention close enough. That slowing down is an effect of that being covered in honey picture. So receive it. If you need to slow down, just welcome more honey. Oh, Lord, I don't just need it poured out. I need to be in the honey bowl. You know, I need to be in the maybe you need to be in the hive. I don't know. But just, you know, in that presence where, Lord, it just slows me down. The next thing, like, when I think of this, and as the Lord was expounding on this, I was thinking, you know, and then it was beautiful how the Pooh Bear anointing showed up. But it's like, the attractional nature of honey. Because what kid doesn't look at honey and just automatically go, hmm? You know, it's just, there's something about it that just makes you want to, like, taste it and just stick your finger in it. And those of us that have been around kids, that have kids, I mean, you know, it's not just like eating a chocolate bar and watching them enjoy it. It's watching them wear it as they enjoy it, right? There's something attractional about that. There's something attractional about the nature of honey, that it just draws things. And I would say this to us, that we would be a people that in the midst of the revelation of this picture of honey and worthy and glory and all that we've been singing about and where we're going to go in the Word, is that God is actually saying to us, I want you to know how attractional, how much of a draw my glory is. And that when somebody comes along and they stick their finger in our life, that it wouldn't be a, oh, how dare you? It would be, oh, taste and see. Have some more. I've got plenty flowing off of me. And that this idea of just being fat in honey, fat in the Spirit, not fat in the flesh or, you know, fat in pride, but the Spirit of God, that there's more than enough. And that we wouldn't be little hoarders of our honey bowl, but that we'd bless it, as Josh was saying, what is blessed multiplies. And so just one more time before we move on, would you just bow your heart and let's just slow down for a second. Father, we thank you that even right now, in the midst of this moment, this morning, with all the racing and the speed and the hurry going around us, I pray that we'd be a people that just slow down long enough to first let you cover us in your anointing. Let us be reminded of the nature of your anointing, the nature of your grace, the nature of your presence in us, on us, and with us, that it would make us more sensitive to the hurry and the rushing so that we'd slow down. Father, let it also be a reminder right now that Lord, there's something to offer others. It's a sweetness. It's an ability to come and say, taste and see how good the Lord is. It's attractional, Lord. We welcome, Lord, the lost who are looking for a light. Father, we're asking for those that are depressed to come and find hope. Those that are broken to find healing. And so, Lord, as we recognize your grace and your presence in and on us and with us this morning, that Father, we would expect the curious finger of others to begin to dip into our life. To ask questions, to want to taste and see. And Father, that we would steward that. We'd steward our lives in such a way that, Lord, it reveals more of your glory, testifies of your goodness, reveals the working power of your word. And so we welcome you again, Lord, as we make space for you to come and do what only you can do. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in this incredible place that we come to every year. We call it Christmas. And just a few little things as I kind of get us into the Word this morning. I want you to realize a couple things, and I definitely don't want to be a downer. So just know right now, like, I don't want to be a downer. But I feel compelled at the same time to make sure that we hold to the truth. And so if this is news to you, I don't know what kid stayed in the room. So if this is news to you, I'm just introducing truth. And so I'm going to step out of the way, and then you can take your shots at the Word of God and not me, okay? So December 25th is actually not Jesus' birthday, right? I know some of you right now, but there's nothing wrong in celebrating it. There's nothing wrong in recognizing that day. And here's the other thing. Though the Bible doesn't necessarily make it very clear as to when Jesus' birth was, we can actually extrapolate when his birthday was. And I'm in the camp, and I'm going to lean towards this, and we can teach on this another time, that it's actually linked to the Feast of Tabernacles. That it's linked to a feast that God already gave us. And we get this because we can follow the timeline of Elizabeth, who gave birth to John. We can follow this because of where the shepherds were in the story. We can follow this because of who was the king and when they were king and when they ruled. We can follow this because we also know the ways in which the Roman Empire worked, and it was during a time of a census, and they wouldn't call you for a census in any other season except for when they knew you were already commanded by the word of God for those who were Jews to return to the holy city of Jerusalem to be accounted for or for your birthplace. And so there are things that are going on in the word that might not just say December 25th or sometime in September or October when the Feast of Tabernacles is, but it shows us the likelihood of that season. And you can push back at another time, not publicly right now, please. I would appreciate that. But it's something that we teach around here and something that I will do this week. If you get our newsletter, you'll see this in the newsletter. If you don't, just go to our website, sign up. You can get our newsletter. But this week, we're coming into the season of Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts next Sunday. Now, this isn't one of the seven major feasts that God gave to his people back in Exodus. But Hanukkah is a feast that we know God miraculously moved upon his people in such a manner that they held it through time as a season of celebrating God's miraculous provision. If you're not familiar with Hanukkah, that's okay. I put out some information. I've got some notes and do a short teaching online. I want to encourage you to consider a more biblical understanding of what the birth of Christ really looked like. Over the last few years, Pastor Mike, myself, Josh, and Jennifer, we've actually taught through these. And so you can go back and listen to those messages on Facebook or on Podbean where we post our messages. So we're not going to get into the details of the actual story recorded in Luke and Matthew regarding the birth of Jesus, but we're going to talk about the glory of Jesus, the glory of this season that though we can celebrate, and December 25th is a holy day in our life, it's something that we've dedicated unto the Lord, but it's the same as December 26th in the sense that, Lord, thank you for your birth. Thank you for sending your son, God, into the world. It's a July 4th celebration. There's independence of America. Lord, thank you for the independence and the freedom that we have in Christ. And so there's this revelation. And what I want to say about this is in this. There's a simplicity to the message of Jesus Christ that I think we lose because we make it so complicated. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered why God starts new movements? Have you ever wondered why revivals come and they go, and awakenings come and they go, and churches planted, and churches close, and ministries start, and ministries fade, and we see God's provision, and then it seems like it wanes. And here's my conclusion in this, and what I believe in the process of understanding and unpacking. I believe that it's because God knows our nature so well. He knows our nature to take something simple and make it so complicated that he literally has to untangle it and do something new in order to get us back on track. And that's our nature. That's the nature of sin. We're departed from the Lord. We've separated ourselves in such a manner that now we're prone to be led by the flesh, to be led by the world, to be conformed by the world. And God knows that nature. And in his grace, what he says to you and I is, listen, let's start again. Let's look at it again. And what you and I would call as a new revelation, it's just the next step in the process of God because he already knows all things. He sees all things. He understands all things. So what's an example of this? An example of this might be this idea of forgiveness, right? This idea that God said forgive. So God said in this example of forgiveness that we are to forgive others their transgressions. Your Father, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. If you forgive others their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. Matthew 6:14. Peter asked, how many times, Lord, is it necessary for us to give? And Jesus replied, 70 times 70. Matthew 18:22. We know that the number is symbolic of a greater act, and it's a posture of worship. Forgiveness is actually super simple. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Just because it's simple doesn't take away the power and the profound nature of the revelation. By saying that forgiveness is simple is also not saying that you should just get over the issue because you've forgiven. There is a reality to the depth of our soul that is complicated. But the actual revelation of forgiveness that you and I are called back to, led back to, commanded to fulfill is actually simple. Forgive. Now, the process and the repetition, that's what Peter's asking. Okay, Lord, how many times? And Jesus is metaphorically, symbolically saying, hey, listen, 7 times 70. Keep doing it. Keep doing it until you know that where you carry bitterness and angst and hurt and woundedness is transformed into now not just acceptance or tolerance, but the ability to bless, the ability to impart love. And so we've taken this idea of forgiveness and we've made it complicated. Lord, I'm not ready to forgive them. Lord, I'm not sure they deserve forgiveness. Lord, what about justice? What about righteousness? Lord, when are they going to get theirs? And we hold on to this, and what we do is we make it complicated. Another example is this, the sharing of the gospel. The sharing of the gospel should be so simple, and yet we've complicated it. We've extrapolated thoughts and ideas over time and history, and now we're asking questions like, who's qualified to preach the gospel? Who's qualified? Who's authorized to share the gospel? How many verses? How many steps? What program do I use to share the gospel with others? And now we've made it so legalistic and so challenging that we've missed the simplicity of the message. We've missed the message. The good news message is simply this. God loves you, and he wants to have relationship with you. Is there more to it? Absolutely. Could we take him to verses? Absolutely. Is there a need to know more? Absolutely. But in the posture of sharing the good news with others, we've allowed fear. We've allowed an authoritarian, you know, dictatorship who classifies and quantifies and clarifies what the gospel message should sound like, or who gets to share it, or who gets to receive it. And we've overcomplicated. We've taken John 3:16 and 17, which says, for God so loved the world. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. God loves you, and he wants to have relationship with you. The fear of wondering, like, well, what if they start to ask me tough questions? What if they have questions that I can't answer? You know what? Let's not even start the conversation because I don't know how to answer those questions. Again, something so simple. Love others. Preach the gospel. Share the good news. God loves you, and he wants to have relationship with you. We've overcomplicated it. And there's this story that we often refer to, again, in this season and in this time, and it's known as the Christmas story. It's known as the birth of Jesus. And it's beautiful, and it's intimate, and some of you have little nativity manger scenes on, you know, your mantle or on a table at home. Some of you, again, you've grown up in church long enough, and you could probably recite the story and tell the story. And it's beautiful, but my heart this morning is to come back and just simplify it. To simplify it in such a manner that it's summed up like this. That God loves you and he wants to have relationship with you. That God loves you and he wants to have relationship with you. So we can answer, all of us probably in this room, how God did that. How did God demonstrate his love? Well, he sent his son. He sent his son in a virgin. He sent his son in a place and a season and a time that was filled with Roman imperialism. He sent his son in a place where, again, we see the brokenness of a society. We see the reality of a system. The religious priesthood have defiled their call. Through religious order and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the different sects within Judaism. And it made it very complicated. And what was supposed to be a means unto God now became a legalistic system of God. And so all of a sudden, what God decides to do is fulfill a promise. It's new revelation to us, but it's part of his working hand. To come into a time, a place, and a space to restore the message, I love you, and I want to have relationship with you. Breaking the barriers of the religious system, breaking down centuries of legalism and separation, breaking down the absence of what appeared to be God has abandoned us. The Roman Empire is upon us. And bringing us back to this place that when we really think of this story and recall the birth of our Savior, it's a beautiful, simple message. And we've actually been seeing it in Ephesians. And so if you have your Bible open, join me in Ephesians 1. And I introduced this last week, and I'm just going to look at these two verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. They'll be on your screen if you don't have them this morning. I don't know what translation. Oh, and New King James. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And this is the phrase that I have you underline. And this is the Christmas story right here. And this is where we're going to camp out for the rest of our time this morning. This last phrase. To the praise of his glory. He says this two other times previous to this. In verse 6, he says, to the praise of his glory. I think I have that verse, Marnie. Ephesians 1, verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And then Paul says it again in verse 12. Says that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And then we just read it in verse 14. Paul is reiterating this phrase. And when you see a phrase reiterated, there is need to pause and go, okay, what is Paul, Peter, John, Matthew, the gospel writers, the authors of the word, what are they trying to communicate? And what Paul's trying to communicate here, again, is the beauty of the message of Jesus Christ being born. The beauty of the message of Jesus giving up his life on the cross. The beauty of the message of Jesus being raised from the dead. The beauty of the message of Jesus taking his rightful seat to rule and reign. The beauty of the message of what happens when you and I create a place of praise. It becomes a dwelling place. It becomes a place where God can rest. He's enthroned upon the praises of his people, Psalm 22. There's this place that you and I need to get back to where it's simply to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. And this word glory, it can have a lot of different definitions, and it's been really made complicated, and I get that. There's a lot to it. But I, again, just want to take a moment and just simplify this term. Simplify it, not because it's not weighty or need more definition or expounding on it isn't important, because it absolutely is, but to simplify it so that, again, if there needs to be a reset or an alignment or a clearing up in our lives because things have gotten so complicated, so entangled with the world, so fashioned by the nature of the soul rather than the Spirit of God, that we'd be able to come back and see the truth like a light in the darkness. And it's simply this. What is the glory? It is God and his presence. God is glory, and the glory is his presence. Is it a weighty presence? The word kabod in the Hebrew? Yes, it is a weighty presence. Is it a miraculous presence? Yes, it's a miraculous presence. Is it a healing presence? Yes, it's a healing presence. But it is the presence of God. It is the manifestation. It is the nature of God's presence manifesting. And when you and I most often refer to the glory of God, what we're talking about is that we're talking about the glory, the atmosphere of God, the heavenly hosts of heaven that dwell and fly and sing and do all that stuff in the glory realm is entering our realm, and it's being made evident. And the clearest illustration I have of this that I can visualize and picture this is that the glory of God is like the atmosphere of heaven. It's just who he is. It's just what dwells there. It's like the air we breathe on earth is the same as the glory is the atmosphere of heaven. And so if you will, just picture with me again this reality of when we use terms like the glory came in or the glory came down, or depending on what charismatic circles you run in, it feels like the glory is bubbling up. You know, there's something bubbling up in me. Imagine being underwater. Imagine swimming down to the bottom of a pool or deep diving into the sea. And when you blow, you've entered air into a different realm and it just bubbles up. When God enters the room and he begins to blow, it's the glory that begins to bubble up in this atmosphere. Are you with me? You seeing that? It's the nature of God invading our realm in such a manner that maybe it's small and it's a touch of healing, which is not a small thing. It's a big thing. But in the context of the world, it may seem small. It's God miraculously moving in such a manner where all of a sudden laughter begins to bubble up. There's the glory. There is glory in the revelation that Jane shared this morning, that when you look upon the face of others, you have a choice. You have a choice to see the glory, or you have a choice to see just what is present. And as we sang this morning, as we worshiped, and as we sit and we look at this phrase, to the praise of his glory, what we're recognizing is we are responding with praise to the evidence of his presence. We are responding, and that's what Paul's having us do. Listen, I'm laying out evidence, and our response is to the praise of his glory. I'm telling you that in him you are chosen, you are predestined to be adopted, to believe, to be redeemed when you hear the word, to the praise of his glory. The revelation of the word requires a response on our part. And when we respond, we get to say to the praise of his glory. The fact that you're here this morning and you're choosing to worship, let it be said to the praise of his glory. When you choose to stand up and give a testimony, when you choose to not let fear rob you of the joy and the life in Christ, when you decide that I'm not going to let joy be stolen because I'm confused, you can step back and say to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. When God stopped and decided to put everything in motion after creation, he predestined us to know that there would be moments in time that we would need a reminder to go and say to the praise of his glory. And what he wants is more of that. He wants more reminders on the earth. He wants more testimonies. He wants more freedom from you and I where we are stopping and saying to the praise of his glory. But what does it take? It probably takes being covered in honey to slow you down a little bit, to slow me down a little bit. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory, let a virgin give birth, conceived of the Holy Spirit. To the praise of his glory, let it be announced through dreams and visitations of angels. To the praise of his glory, let it be celebrated by shepherds and kingmakers, these wise men. To the praise of his glory, let it be found in the most obscure, unlikely places, like Bethlehem. To the praise of his glory, let it happen in a season and a time where it was least expected. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory, let it come in a fallen world that is crying out for hope. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory, let it come in the form of something so innocent and so vulnerable. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory, let it be known upon each of our lives that the touch of Jesus wasn't just a momentary thing, but it's an eternal thing. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory, I recognize my wrong and I confess and turn my eyes back to Jesus. To the praise of his glory, I recognize that things didn't go as I expected, but I trust you, Lord, because it all comes back to the praise of your glory. See, oftentimes we get in this place where the space necessary to say to the praise of his glory is stolen or preoccupied or consumed with doubt and confusion and hurt and brokenness. And so there isn't any reason in our eyes or in the moment to stop and go, well, to the praise of his glory. You know, what glory is there? How could there be any glory right now? God, I don't see things. Things aren't happening the way I want them. And the point I want to make this morning and make sure you walk out of here with is a greater understanding of why God does what he does. Because as I alluded to earlier, most of us could easily recount the how. But the why is this. Why did God come? Why did Jesus have to die? Why does the Holy Spirit live in me? Why has God forgiven me? Why is God at work in me and through me? Why is God doing all this stuff? Why is God committed to his promises? Why is God not maybe answering your prayers? Why is God allowing cancer to prevail? And why does God allow divorce to happen in Christian married companies, families? Why does God allow certain, you know, companies to flourish? We ask these questions, and they're great questions, but can I just simplify this morning the answer? To the praise of his glory. Did God cause the cancer? Absolutely not. Did God cause the accident? I hope you don't believe that because it's not true. But God can work all things together for good according to those that are called to his good and wonderful purposes and nature, to the glory of his praise. When we stop and we examine a situation and we don't see our expectations being met, when we feel like my prayers and our prayers aren't being heard, there is still reason to praise him, because God is more committed. Listen, and I said this last week, and I know some of you had questions, so I'm going to repeat it again. God's number one concern isn't your goodness, how good you feel, how well you're doing. Does he care about you? Absolutely. God loves you and he wants to have relationship with you. But there are things that God will not do in a moment for you because it actually will take away from his glory. There are things that God wants to do through you that unless he builds character and faith and hope, they will actually destroy us and not give him glory. There are things that God is concerned about that, again, start with an understanding that he is first and foremost concerned and fixated and intentional about his glory, about the nature of his glory, about the nature of his name. Whatever God does for his glory will always be good for you and I. Please hear that. Whatever God does for his glory will ultimately be good for you and I. So again, my mom passes away from cancer, and I have a very, you know, I had a very loving mom, but you know, many of you know my story. My mom's favorite line was, "You better take care of that because nobody's going to do it for you." And that's how I was raised. And I knew she loved me, and it was never a question of love. But when I really began to get born again and I gave my life to the Lord and began to challenge what I was hearing the Lord say versus the voice in my head, I had transferred that voice of my mom into the voice of the Lord. The Lord's going, "Better do something about that because nobody's going to do it for you." And it took me years to untangle that mess and realize that is not the voice of my father. You're fired. I joined Veronica. Shut up. Wherever that voice is coming from, the soul, the enemy, my mom, you know, that's not the voice of the father. Yet we live sometimes in that pressure because to the glory of his praise wasn't able to be said when God is thought to be saying, "Hey, you better do something about that because nobody's going to do anything for you. Nobody's going to take care of that." And that isn't the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is, "Hey, I love you and I want to have relationship with you. I love you and I want to show you that everything I'm doing is about my glory. And if you make it about my glory, you'll experience my goodness and it will be good for you." The other idea here is that, again, when divorce happens or a kid and you know, my kids made a lot of mistakes and I've got unfulfilled dreams still, I can let those things rob space in my life, consume thoughts, consume emotions, and steal what God ultimately wants as the space to show us, to show me, so that he can show others through me that, hey, I'm going to turn this around and make it about my glory. And this is a challenging thing for many of us, and I believe that some of us have a misunderstanding about who God is, and we may even be disappointed at times with God, not understanding him because he didn't meet our prayer. Some of us are carrying unnecessary burdens or maybe even lies about God or about others because we didn't get this understanding. We didn't get this as foundational teaching that everything God does is first and foremost for his glory. And if it's for his glory, and you and I who have been chosen, predestined by adoption, redeemed, found in him, been sealed with the Holy Spirit, then you and I also get to experience that glory. Whether it's in a healing and a little bubbling up when God breathes into our atmosphere, or something far greater, and it's the knowledge that we have of our eternal salvation. That there is coming a day when he will return and he will make all things right to where there's no pain, there's no tears, there's no cancer. But until then, as Veronica said, Christ in us, but he's being transformed. We are being transformed through him. We are being made into his likeness. And so we get into this place where we start to ask, Lord, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do when I don't see things happening? And rather than making it super complicated, it's just simply stepping back and going, Lord, to the glory of your, praise to your glory. Praises to your glory. Praise to your glorious name. Praise to the way you're working. Your thoughts, your ways are higher than mine, and I don't understand them. And come back to something that's simple and true. I want to show you a few names and just use this as an illustration as we transition here. How many of you ever heard of this individual and company, Jack Tinker and the Partners? Jack Tinker and the Partners? Okay. What about this one? Doyle Dan Beckenbach. Birnbach. You don't know their glory? You don't recognize the glory on their name? Okay. What about this one? BBDO. BBDO? Not R2-D2, not the little, what's the little new Star Wars, BB-8, yeah, BBDO. Okay, how about Footcomb and Belding? Yeah, oh, you good, awesome, way to go, Chad. Footcomb and Belding. Last one, J. Walter Thompson. Yeah, J. Walter Thompson. Awesome, Marsh. So, I just listed off five of the most profitable, influential advertising companies in the United States. One of you knew one of them. So, Tinker, some of you will recognize Tinker. 1976, they coined this phrase, pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. What's it for? Oh, my goodness, you do know them. Doyle Dan Birnbach, 1972, this company, advertising company, coined this phrase, we try harder. Put this company on the map to where they still exist today. This is Avis Car Rental, Avis Car Services. It wasn't a rental service back then. It was a chauffeur service. Avis. You might not like Avis. Maybe you're a Hertz car driver, but 1972, this company coined their phrase that they still use to this day. BDDO, 1935. Mm-mm, good. Oh, Campbell's Soup. Campbell's Soup. This was released in 1935 and is still the number one soup-selling business in the world. Mm-mm, good. Footcomb and Belding, 1934, at Christmas, released this phrase for this company. When you care enough to send the very best. Hallmark. 1934. J.J. Walter Thompson, him and his advertising company in 1928, said this. Snap, crackle, pop. The talking cereal. Rice Krispies. Rice Krispies, maybe that too. See, the whole purpose of an advertising company and its likeness to you and I is that the spotlight's not supposed to be on them. The spotlight is shown on the client, the company, the product. Even so, to the point that today we don't even know their names. but we know their product. We know the product they advertised. The same is true of you and I. It's not about having the spotlight on us, but it's about putting it on Jesus. It's not about your name being recognized before all names. It's about the one name being lifted above all names. How is it lifted? When we lift it up in praise, to the glorious praise, to the praise of his name, to the glory of his name. See, in some sense, all these companies were looking for their niche to bring their product to the world. They were looking for their glory. They were looking for their name recognition. They were looking for their branding. And these companies came up with phrases or coined branding terms that marked them and changed them forever, bringing them a type of glory, a recognition, a space that they now occupy in the market. So much so that as soon as you saw the phrase, many of you in this room knew the product. The same is true of you and I with Jesus in our life. Jesus loves us and he wants to have relationship with us. But at the end of the day, it's about his glory. It's about you and I giving him the glory. It's about you and I recognizing the beauty of his name. And so as beautiful as Christmas is, as beautiful as this season is, as extravagant or challenged you are, you know, in the gift-giving market or in the ability to spend or feel like you can't spend, you know, wherever that you land in that demographic, in that economic status, that's just the complicated stuff that we've made it. The beauty is that the season we're celebrating is about God said, I see a space and a time and a place where I can plant a seed that's been predestined to come since the foundation of the world, a seed that's been waiting for the right time, the right place, and a space. And as he brought it forth and as he planted it, it began to grow. It's begun to grow in such a manner that in this season here, in a few weeks, many of us will wake up and decide on Sunday, December 25th, Christmas morning, I really need to get to Echo Hills Church at 10 a.m. and join us. But if you have family, that's okay too. You can stay home. But we will be here Sunday the 25th. Give glory. Yeah, amen. Give glory to God at home. Give glory to God here, but you can join us. It's in your bulletin. But it's not just a day. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment to worship. And there's some verses that, again, I know you're familiar with, but I just want to simplify them and remind you of them. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. His glory will invade a moment, a space, and a place. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Galatians 4:4-5 reads, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. In Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to invite the worship team up. We're just going to close in a song. And as they're coming up, I want to invite you again to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the space in your life that is occupied by something, and maybe you could come up with a list of 10, but let's just start with the one, that is getting a realm of glory, recognition, status, or attention that isn't of God, or that doesn't give God the glory. For some of you, it might be easy to think it's an addiction, it's a habit, it's use of language, it's unforgiveness. For those of you that maybe have stewarded your life to a place where there's nothing grotesque or large, but it might be something minuscule like, I haven't slowed down long enough, Lord, to recognize a coworker that's been hurting. You've been dropping a name in my spirit for a couple of weeks now, and I just haven't stopped to call them or text them or check up on them. Because when we respond in obedience to the Lord, he gets the glory. When we respond with hope, all of a sudden now, we have something to give others. When we get a testimony of how God is miraculously working or doing something in us or through us or around us, and we share it with others, what we're bringing is the message of hope. What we're sharing is the good news. And yet the simplest message of the good news is, hey, do you know God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you? And you may get, oh, wow, tell me more. Or you may get, who the hell cares? He's never done anything for me. I've never known him. People have used his name. You're a Christian. I know many Christians that are, you know, whatever. Well, I don't need to speak for all Christians. I need to speak for the one that I know loves me. And if he can love me, he can sure the heck love you. No, I'm just kidding. If I'm lovable, then I know we're all lovable. If I'm capable of recognizing the grace. See, here's the difference. The plan of God was always to bring grace. An access point for you and I to find redemption, salvation, hope. That was always the plan. And oftentimes we complicate that plan. But just as much as we complicate the plan, we somehow have complicated the purpose. We've made the purpose about us, about healing at times. Healing is good. About manifestations. Manifestations are good. Provision. Provision is good. I want all that. But the purpose is simply for God to be glorified. And so use that this week as a filter. Use it as the simple process of slowing down and just going, Lord, I'm going to give you glory. I might not understand what you're doing, but Lord, to the glory of your name, to the praise of your glory. And we'd be postured in such a manner that the world, when they begin to hear us and see us, will recognize there's something different. There's something authentic. They might stick their finger in your life and go, how do I get more of that? Because the other thing about honey doesn't just slow us down. It's not just attractional, but it's sticky. Right? It's sticky. And you might have people that are stuck in your life that you would love to see get unstuck. But maybe the Lord is saying, praise to the glory of my name. Watch me do what no one else can do. Would you stand with me this morning as we close in a song? Heavenly Father, in this season of lights and presence and gifts and generosity, I pray for every heart in this room that is burdened. Burdened with a loss of a loved one, the absence of a son, the blessing of a son, the healing of a dad. absence of our family being able to visit for the holidays, distance, financial situations, wherever you're at, the Lord loves you. And He is committed to having relationship with you. And I pray that we'd be a people that can rise above our momentary circumstances and fix our eyes again on the author and perfecter of our faith and behold His beauty, which causes everything else to pale in comparison. And that our response would be to the glory and honor and praise of Your name forever and ever, King Jesus, God the Father, and You, Holy Spirit. I pray that this week that You'd find yourself in situations and relationships where others would behold the glory of the God You serve, because You're willing and able to glorify Him wherever you're at. And it would be something that they would long to taste. They'd long to know more about. And things might get a little sticky, but we're going to be okay with that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Everything changes.
Come on. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Well, feel free to move as slowly as you like out of this room, into the parking lot, to your car. There's no need to rush. You're welcome to hang out. Check out your bulletin. There's some things coming up this Friday. We've got our Marriage 365, and there's some other details about things going on around here. So check that out. But bless somebody, and be blessed as you go in the name of Jesus. Amen.